The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ben Shapiro just gave an exclusive interview where he spoke very candidly about why Jeremy Boring left the Daily Wire and much more. We are going to break down the full interview on the show today. Ben also throws down on Tucker and Megyn Kelly for becoming Russian surrogates. We're going to start with that and stick around to the end because Islamists Hassan Piker and Cenk Uygur got banned from the UK, and surprisingly, it has conservatives divided. So the woke right continues to get into bed with Russia. Obviously, the big story right now is that Candace Owens is at a BRICS summit in Russia and is probably taking money from the Russians. But Ben Shapiro actually had a very different take on all of this. I thought it was very interesting. He makes the case that Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and Candace Owens are not actually taking money from Russia, and that really they're doing all this because they just hate America.
So Russia is spreading lies, but they happen to be woke right lies that cross paths, that cross streams, Ghostbusters style, with the Candaces, with the Tuckers. Their rhetoric is precisely the rhetoric of the so-called woke right. America is soulless. America's economy might be prosperous, but it's emptying out America of Christianity. Again, this coming from a country that literally has the government embedding with its own form of religion to crack down on other forms of religion. American capitalism is inferior to feudalism, right? All of this crosses streams with the Tucker and Candace. And I'm not saying that Tucker and Candace are working for Russia. I'm saying they agree with them. They agree with America's enemies. What these folks wish for you to do is agree with them that America sucks and is bad, and that Russia and China and Iran ought to have more global power. That is literally the goal. And I know a lot of people out there are shaking their heads. No, no, this isn't foreign driven. Then you need to answer the question. What exactly Tucker Carlson was doing in Russia, why he's constantly parroting Russian talking points. You have to answer the question if you're on the left, why Hassan Piker and the Chinese government aren't exactly the same page. You have to answer the question as to why Candace Owens is quote unquote vacationing at a Russian government driven conference in St. Petersburg in the middle of a war with Ukraine where drones are being fired at St. Petersburg. Like, these are all questions that require answers. And the answer is quite easy and understandable. And the Russians themselves have laid it out there in this particular case. So again, once you see what's going on, it's hard to unsee it. We just need people to actually, you know, open their eyes.
I don't know how we got here, but the America First crowd will literally do anything to be anti-American. That's what's happening. For Tucker Carlson, it's going to Russia, praising their bread and their subway systems. And for Candace Owens, it's going and speaking at a BRICS event in St. Petersburg. And this is what we all have to consider. Has Candace Owens ever spoken positively about the U.S. economy in the past 3 years, even once? Has she ever even spoken about the economy at all? Why else would she be at a BRICS summit? Has she ever talked about the prosperity of our country, the most prosperous country in the world? Has Tucker Carlson ever gone to a U.S. city and had just one nice thing to say? It's never happened. Of course not. They legitimately hate America. And I do tend to agree with Ben on this. I think they might be getting paid. I don't really know for certain, but overall, I don't think that they're getting paid to say something they don't already believe. I think they already believe that Russia is a better country than America. I think they genuinely hate America, especially Tucker. Candace Owens cares a little bit more about the money. I think Tucker Carlson truly believes that Russia is a better place than America. By the way, Tucker is always talking about how these other countries are better than the US because they're more conservative. He does this with Saudi Arabia. He did it with Venezuela. He's doing it with Russia. Russia has a state-sponsored church. Proselytizing is illegal there. If you're not part of the Russian Orthodox Church, you do not have religious freedom. Abortion are at all-time high rates. Divorce is at all-time highs. They've got no free speech. They have a surveillance state. They attack Western countries. They have no free elections. So basically, Russia represents everything, ironically, that they criticize the West for. You guys probably had a number in your head for retirement, and on paper, you hit it. But here's the issue. That number does not look the same anymore. Because the cost of living has changed, everything costs more now. Gas, groceries, insurance, housing, and even when things settle, prices don't go back. You're just living at a higher cost than before. So now it's not just, did I save enough? It's, will it actually support the retirement that I plan? Because when costs rise, it's not about running out. It is about your money doing less over time. And that's what changes the lifestyle that you have been working for. That's what made me start to look at things a little differently. I'm pretty selective about what I trust financially, so I spent a little bit of time digging into this. That's how I found my partner, Augusta Precious Metals. They showed me how you can move your IRA or your 401k into physical gold, tax-free, penalty-free, not to chase returns, but to understand how to protect what you've already built. I looked into it, and it's a very different approach than what most people realize. If this is something you're even considering, it is worth having a conversation. Augusta has a team that will walk you through it, answer your questions, and help you see if this actually fits your retirement strategy. No pressure, just education. You can go to goldwithcar.com. Again, that is C-A-R-R, like my name, goldwithcar.com, or text CAR, C-A-R-R, to 35052 and get their free gold IRA guide. Go through it and decide for yourself if it's something you should be doing. So Ben Shapiro was recently interviewed by the Free Press, and this was a little shocking to me because Ben doesn't usually do interviews. He's actually very guarded. And not only did he do this interview, it was very candid. And this is how it starts. I just wanted to clip the best parts of it because his writer's very good. Talks about how Ben Shapiro really is the top of the conservative movement. But this is where it gets really interesting. They say by any metric, Shapiro has made it. His podcast averages between 500 to 750,000 listeners or viewers per episode. And Shapiro says its ad revenue is up 7% from last year. He's worth millions. He has influence, regularly texting with prominent Republican lawmakers and senior Trump administration cabinet members. And as Trump's recent decision to greenlight his second Iran war shows, the president's thinking on foreign policy aligns more closely with Shapiro than with many of Shapiro's new enemies on the right. That is obviously true. They continue to say, Shapiro's former friend, Megyn Kelly, did a bit of a grave dance earlier this month on her podcast referring to Shapiro. She said, quote, the people who have made it their calling card to just look at all conservatives who have doubts on about Israel and say, you're an anti-Semite, they're failing. And I really love the way they frame this. And before we get to what Shapiro talks about with the Daily Wire and with Jeremy Boring, I love how this interviewer is framing Shapiro has made it and Megyn Kelly is talking about how he has absolutely no power in the conservative movement. They are absolutely correct that Donald Trump has basically perfectly taken the advice of Shapiro and come out against Megyn Kelly. And I'm sorry, Donald Trump runs the GOP. Anyone he endorses wins. They continued. Kelly is correct that the Daily Wire has had issues, but it's not because Shapiro has been too pro-Israel. On the contrary, in Shapiro's telling, it was a foray to ancillary businesses that cost the company. Quote, this is from Ben. The reality is we overspent, he says. While Shapiro is now the chairman of the Daily Wire's board, he was never technically in management. Quote, that doesn't relieve me of the responsibility for bad decisions, he says. But Shapiro left management largely to the company's co-founder, Jeremy Boring, who left the Daily Wire last year. Boring's passion project was to produce an ambitious Game of Thrones-style fantasy series called The Pendragon Cycle, Rise of Merlin, based on Stephen Lawhead's book on the legend of King Arthur. Shapiro declined to discuss specifics, but the costs of making the series far outweighed the revenues. Quote, I think that it was outside, obviously, of what our audience wanted from us, he says. I understand what Jeremy's goal was, which is to stretch the audience, to see if we could add to the total of the market, to appeal to a broader spectrum of people. I think that we had differences about how far the audience was willing to stretch. And this right here has been theorized. People have talked about this for a long time, but this is the first real person from the company saying that it's true. The Pendragon cycle is just too costly, that it confused people. And honestly, from my vantage point, I think this is absolutely right. Because the Daily Wire was incredibly successful because of their independent commentary, especially in the wake of woke media, mainstream media being incredibly corrupt during 2016, 2020. Of course, they continue to be, but it was especially during those election cycles. And so you had this amazing audience that was really thirsty for that kind of knowledge. And then you bring in kind of this separate cultural question of how do we as conservatives create non-woke media and art? And that's a really good effort and a good goal as well. The problem is they're kind of separate. If I came out tomorrow and said to you guys, every single day, I'm going to come out on the channel with a new short film that I'm going to be creating, you guys would be very confused. You'd be like, Josh, you're a political commentator. You don't make short films. They're completely different things. And I think that's what happened with the Daily Wire. They almost needed to do separate things. Jeremy Boring needed to go to Ben Shapiro and say, this is a fantastic company. We've grown it so well. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go start a different company. And it's going to be about making non-woke movies. One of my big questions, and we'll get into this in a second, is why the Daily Wire is still making movies. I think if you're making documentaries, that's one thing. But to make completely fictional, you know, movies, like I think they're making one with Jonathan Majors right now, that doesn't really make sense to me. I think they need to stay in the news commentary business or start another company completely. The interviewer continues, Boring and Shapiro were once very close. Today, their relationship is chilly. When I ask Shapiro if they're still friends, Shapiro says, I would say that I respect Jeremy. I like Jeremy. I have sort of very specific definition of friendship, which is people who I talk to regularly, nearly every day. I have a very closed circle. So I would say that that was true a year ago. I think that I'm certainly friends with Jeremy, but we haven't spoken for a while. Like I saw him on the street, like if I saw him on the street, we'd obviously give each other a hug, but it's not as though he and I are talking regularly. As a side note, this is actually one of the things I respect about Ben. And I think this is something that other political commentators could learn. I know it's kind of hard for some to hear. It's hard for me to hear that Ben and Jeremy are not friends anymore. And it feels like that represents some sort of fracture in traditionally conservative hosts who should be unified. They should be working together. But I do kind of get what Ben is saying. I think many people in the podcast space get really caught up with the cigar lounges and the cocktail parties, the after parties, and the networking, all of that. And it can be kind of vain, to be honest. I've seen a little bit of it firsthand, just on a smaller scale. I think it's really important to be friendly. I think networking is good. I think working together is good. But the uppercase friend, F on friend, you know, it's different than the lowercase F on friend. I've got maybe three uppercase friends out there because my priority is my wife, then my kids, then my local congregation. I'm very involved with my neighbors. I know all of them. I think we're friends. But then outside of that, maybe three or four friends that I really see a lot, talk to a lot. I think if you're an adult with a family, you don't really have time for more than three friends. You know, I see even the friends that I think are really important to me, I see them like once a month max. I just can't take on 50 friends. And of course, there are many other lowercase friends who I'm friendly with, and I would do something for them if they needed help, which is, I think, what Ben is describing here for Jeremy. But I really think it's good for men to prioritize their family and their immediate community first, and to not act like they're besties with people they used to work with who don't even live in the same state. Again, doesn't mean you can't be friendly, but Ben is actually very honest here, just saying, look, we don't talk that often. So can I really say we're friends? Probably not. Time is limited. That means letting old relationships go to a certain degree. The article continues and kind of ends like this. Quote, I think the American right has a conspiracy problem. And every conspiracy theory has at the very point of that spear a kind of anti-Semitism, Shapiro says. Because anti-Semitism is the your conspiracy theory, he is not optimistic about the future. Take, for example, the Israel-obsessed representative Thomas Massie, who lost his primary this month in Kentucky. Quote, if Massie had taken precisely the same position, but not taken on the president and not called him part of the so-called Epstein class and not played that dumb game, then the president wouldn't have gone up against him. And then Massie probably would have survived a primary challenge, Shapiro said. He did a couple of years ago. Shapiro may be glum about the future, but America is still a country where you can order a Jerusalem martini, at least in Florida. This is where the interviewer was with Ben. And his humor itself constitutes a kind of dark optimism. Asked if he would ever consider entering the arena himself and running for office, Shapiro doesn't hesitate. Quote, my wife would murder me. I'm young, I'm 42, and I believe my constitutional provision, you must now be 80 in order to run. So I have a few decades to consider whether or not I wish to do so. Yeah, obviously running for office would suck. I think the thing everyone should do, really, I really mean this. A lot of people have been talking about this recently. Get together with you and your friends and maybe family if you live in the same area. All run for the school board or the city council and just take over the entire thing in your city. Take every single seat. That's actually something I would do, but running for federal office would suck. That's never happening. Now, on the point of conspiracies that Ben points out here, this has been one of the central focuses on the right. And I have said for a very long time, reality is what it is. You cannot change it, but you can fight it or you can be in line with it. In politics, those who fight it lose every single time. That's what Thomas Massie did. Those who align with reality win. Conspiracies, by their nature, are against reality. Therefore, as the party continues to believe in them, they will continue to deviate from reality and lose elections. So I think it should be a top priority to weed out the conspiracy theorists. I think Ben Shapiro is absolutely right. To his credit, that's exactly what Trump has done so far. It's one of the reasons he is one of the best Republican presidents in a long time. In other news, Cenk Uygur and Hassan Piker have been banned from entering the UK. As we'll talk about, traditional conservatives are actually kind of divided on whether or not that's a good thing. I have very clear feelings about this, but first, here is the moment that Cenk found out.
Most remarkable thing just happened. I went to the airport to go to London. I'm going to give panel speeches at South by Southwest London and two speeches at Oxford, but it turns out I'm not, because the person at the United counter said, "You have been banned from the United Kingdom. It says here the government has rejected you." So I already had a visa. It was a 2-year visa. I was in the middle of it. So they went in and pulled the visa, apparently. I had no idea why. And I have to say that it was a bit of a gut punch. It's a little bit hard to shake me, but I was shaken there, because if that feeling of having your freedom taken away was so visceral.
So Cenk says there that his freedoms were taken away. And I do find that interesting based on what he said we should do to Israel in this country. He has said that Israelis should not be allowed here. Just some food for thought. But in any case, after he processed it for a bit, he got even more angry. Here's what he said.
"I am a serious risk to public order." So words are a serious risk to public order. And the words are, hey, Israel seems to have inordinate power in America, in the government and the media, and apparently in the UK in the government and the media. And so those are words so dangerous that the public order will break down. And so And I can't believe that they missed the irony of, how dare you say that any government is controlled by Israel? We're banning you for criticizing Israel. Well, thank you for proving my point, and for also proving that you haven't really thought this one through very much, have you?
So, of course, that's the narrative. Israel is controlling the UK. Always Israel, guys. And that is why Cenk was not let in. And there's a little problem with that fact. This is being reported on right now. You can see from the Times, they report, left-wing YouTube pundit Cenk Uygur banned from entering the UK. And it starts off like this. Shabana Mahmood has banned a left-wing firebrand from the UK due to fears he could fuel anti-Semitism and his denial of the existence of grooming gangs. Now, why is that important? You might ask. Because that lady, Shabana Mahmood, is a Pakistani Muslim and frequently attacked by Zionists and Israelis, by the way. Like, not beloved by the Israel lobby in UK at all. So that narrative just completely fell apart. Not a Zionist that kicked out Hassan Piker and Cenk. It was a Muslim. Now, Hassan Piker was also banned from the UK. As I said, here is his reaction.
It's okay. Well, I didn't want to talk about it, but my visa has also been revoked. We just found out. So yes. Yes, I will not be going as it stands currently. I don't believe that I'll be able to go to the United Kingdom this upcoming week. I don't know who to reach out for this. I was supposed to do something with Yanis Varoufakis, do something with Zach Polanski, do something with Jeremy Corbyn, do something at the Oxford Union. And now the Labour government has revoked our visas.
So he'll also claim it's Israel, of course. Israel is the scapegoat. And it's a very specific scapegoat, by the way. It is the excuse that people make when they don't want to take responsibility for their own actions. Every single time. If someone is screaming Israel, it's pretty clear. It's safe to say that that person has no personal accountability over their life. Hassan Piker says he's not allowed in the UK because of Israel. Here is a compilation of just some of the things Hassan has said over the years that might explain why he's not there.
Let the streets soak in their red capitalist bloods, dude.
Left-wingers, liberals, you need to be showing your opponents guts on there, okay? You need to be gutting them. You need to be and letting their intestines just ride on stage. What the man? Slice them up.
If you cared about Medicare fraud or Medicaid fraud, you would kill Rick Scott. Okay, you got to sick like the ACP guys on him. Okay, that's it. You got to get one of those like Haz al-Dink type mother to just like eat his ass alive, you know?
Are you okay?
No, stop me.
Are you okay?
Echo
7-1081.
Are you okay?
No, you shot me.
What the f-? Good, still good. Yo, that still bangs, dude. Yo, that's funny as f-.
Hassan Nasrallah was assassinated.
Wait, what'd you say?
Hassan Nasrallah.
Who's that?
He's the leader of Hezbollah, the general secretary of Hezbollah.
Do we like them or no?
I don't have an issue with them, let's just say.
What? And they're coming in hot with guns.
Yeah, but you have to understand, this is a deterrence, right? So, like, their goal is to film it and show it to the world so, like, other companies literally are like, okay, we're not going to use the trade route anymore. All of a sudden, if you don't use the trade route, trade gets more expensive for the West. Lying is even more OP than it's ever been.
And that's why Hassan was not allowed in the UK. And if you guys couldn't tell yet, I reject the idea that a country has to let everybody in. I do not think the UK has to let in people they don't want there. I don't think Israel has to do it. They didn't let Tucker Carlson in. I think that was very smart. I certainly don't believe that America should. I don't think the UK has to let in Islamists. I think the US should be more selective about who we let visit our country because these people are parasites. I wish we could deport Cenk and Hassan Piker. They're horrible people. They hate the West. Why would the UK let people in who advocate for political violence? What incentive do they have? It's not about rights. It's just logic. And by the way, letting everyone in is a total leftist talking point. This came out just this week. This is from the Boston mayor. She said, every human being on the planet has the legal right to be in the United States. Regardless of their criminal record, or even if they've outwardly stated their hate for this country, they have the right to be here and voice their opinion. No borders. That's what the consequence is of this. It's full-on leftism, zero borders. Taken to its extreme, Democrats want to let people who aren't citizens even be in charge of law enforcement. A local news station reported that in Washington, illegal immigrants can now be policemen.
A law signed this week by Governor Ferguson will expand eligibility for non-U.S. citizens to become police, firefighters, and prosecutors. These jobs were typically not available to people without at least a green card. But now immigrants with temporary protective status, refugees, and asylum seekers will be able to work in the careers mentioned as long as they have proper federal authorization to work. Supporters of Senate Bill 5068, sponsored by Senator John Lovick, say this law will help departments struggling with staffing shortages. Critics argued non-citizens shouldn't be given the power to carry a firearm and enforce laws.
So now Washingtonians, as they're called, who are citizens, can have the law enforced on them by non-citizens. That's the consequence of letting people into your country who hate you. I don't like the UK for many reasons, but not letting in communist extremists is pretty good governance. Thanks so much for watching, guys. Don't go just yet for more news and commentary. Stick with me a little bit longer and watch another video right here.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.